In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Those words from Jesus seem to be, if we're not careful, a little boring. But in fact, what Jesus is doing is helping those around him, the disciples, and we ourselves, to think a little more about what he is, who he is, God's loving presence in human form. He says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven." We're very familiar with bread, aren't we? As I was saying to the children earlier, we have it regularly in our meals, and most of us will have had some today in our breakfasts. It's a basic of life. We eat and it comes into us and strengthens our bodies, enabling us to be God's loving presence, because God gave us the earth and its many gifts. And so it's important to remember God's gift of the basic things of life today. When you think about bread, there are many different kinds. There's pita bread, naan bread, which I'm beginning to enjoy. We have black bread that I came across in Germany, or rye bread, I think it might be better known as. We have ordinary white bread that we in England seem to be very familiar with, and unleavened bread as well, which the Jews had and still use as part of their daily routines and life. Bread, therefore, is part of our lifestyle, a lifestyle that God has given us. And in the West, Switzerland, Europe, and the like, we have supplies that are reliable. We never seem to run out of food. It's only in troubled areas where there is warfare, like the Yemen, where supplies have not got through, or even in African countries, where sometimes harvest is not good because there isn't the rain. And we know a little about that from our last few weeks here. But if you have long periods without rain, then you don't have the means to grow crops and enjoy the food that God has provided. It's easy then for us here in the West to forget how much some countries suffer. We have enough, and that's for some people all that matters. Enough to be going on with. Jesus said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven." As I said, bread gives us those life-giving importances. The recent story about the feeding of the 5,000, you'll remember, was to some extent addressing this aspect. The crowd around Jesus, 5,000 of them, hadn't eaten that day, and they were getting hungry. And Jesus said to the disciples, "Are we going to go off to a shop somewhere to buy bread, or a farm or somewhere?" And they were saying, "Well, no, we've got 5,000 people here. How are we going to actually feed them if this is what we've got to do?" And Jesus said, "Well, what have we got in the way of food with us?" And one of the disciples says, well, there's a boy here that has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but we're talking about 5,000 people. Jesus said, tell them to sit down. And what happened was he blessed all that had been given, however small it was, broke it up, put it into baskets, and it was obvious that there was more than just those 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish as they were sharing these things in baskets. And Jesus here was showing that it is important that we're all adequately fed in human terms, bread and fish for the 5,000, but for us, bread which will help us to build up our bodily strength and keep going in God's way, doing God's work. One of the problems that the disciples were beginning to realize, though, was that here was somebody talking about coming from God, and he wasn't really talking in physical terms. He was saying, I am from God, sent to be with you, God's presence. You will get to know me, and through me, you will get to know God himself. And they were finding their way around that. But when he talked about himself being the bread of life and how people need to eat his flesh and drink his blood, they struggled a little. And the Jewish crowd around them struggled even more, because in Jewish terms, you don't drink blood from animals at all. You know, you drain them. And this is part of their tradition. And for Jewish people to be standing there, and particularly people from the temple authorities, hearing somebody saying, drink my blood, they found themselves not sure at all. But in principle, God is saying to us what he needs us to do is to think spiritually. Yes, we need to eat, and God provides from the earth the food that will help us in that. But what he is not saying is, we need to cut up Jesus into little bits and eat him. He's saying, symbolically, spiritually, Jesus is his representative, his person who will help us to know what life is really about and how God is helping us to look to the future. In principle, we're being fed in a life-supporting way, but God is the supplier. Yes, he has given us the earth, and yes, he's given us all the things that the earth can provide, farming and animals and the like, but it's a slightly different focus that Jesus is talking about. He wants us to think God first and spiritual matters rather than physical food. A different focus. So, as we say to each other, Jesus is the living bread which came down from heaven, as we've read it here this morning. Jesus' followers become so closely identified with him and become a physical part of him This is what Jesus is saying. He becomes part of each believer. Can you imagine that? Jesus becoming part of you and part of me. And it's when we take communion. When we take communion, that we share the life of God and the life of God forever. Here is God nourishing us in a spiritual way, much as bread helps build up a body, a physical body. God, through his presence, is helping us to have him with us all the time. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood will live forever. The living bread, then, Jesus himself, is all that we need to help us to be hopeful about the future, to be continually active for God. That's what we need in life. God wants us to be as he created us at the beginning, his loving presence here in Bern, Switzerland, wherever. At the Last Supper, then, Jesus became the foundation of a relationship between God and us. The Eucharist, God's relationship with us for years to come. And those who attend, you and I, share the life of Christ and take part in creating God's kingdom. And sometimes we find that a bit of a struggle, don't we? We're not perfect. How can we do this, do that, be God's loving presence? But God is saying to us through Jesus and in the Eucharist, be my faithful, loving servants. Here in the chaplaincy, be my loving, faithful presence. And as we this morning look to the future with the discernment forum, we're saying through God, we are committing ourselves to being for God here, with whoever he provides in the future. We are committing ourselves, each of us, to his way. We are therefore, as Jesus was saying, the body of Christ. The body of Christ for the people around us, wherever we find ourselves. And the challenge, of course, is it's me and it's you. And we don't ever think that we're up to that challenge, do we? We sometimes find ourselves thinking, yes, I reached out my hand today, but what does that mean? But what we're being told is we are the healing presence of Jesus. This is what he was doing in his ministry. We are the feeding presence of Jesus. This is what he was doing in his ministry. We are the teaching presence of Jesus. This is what he was doing in his ministry. We are the forgiving presence, helping people to accept that God helps them moment by moment to be on the right track, not to be lost and focused on something entirely irrelevant. We're to somehow or other, and we can't understand this, work together as the presence of Jesus to bring freedom of justice. Freedom of justice wherever in the world there is a lack of justice. This is what the church is called to be through Jesus. In the Eucharist, in the days to come. So, for us, Christ made himself one in the Eucharist, and he and his Spirit are with us in all aspects of our lives, in our hearts and minds, our thoughts and actions. They're being fed by the body of the living God, and God himself will bring us closer to the perfect example of earthly living. This is the sort of offer Jesus was making, and this is what Jesus was strengthening us to do. And he strengthens us every time we come to the altar. So, as we look to the coming days and the interregnum, God will give us his strength, his hope, through worship and the Eucharist, and we will continue to give through the gifts he has given us, gifts that God has given for other people. We will be, for other people, God's loving presence here at St. Ursula's. So let's commit each other, commit ourselves to work for that realization of God's loving presence now through us, because he is in us in the days to come. Amen.